Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. My name is Pete Ellison. Here's Dave Cripp.
Hoi, 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 hoi. Hello.
Three hois. How's it going? What's going on? What's the goss?
Fine. Little husk on the under voice, so apologies for that. I'm in my Phoebe Buffay sexy cold phase, except not sexy.
Do you know what? I should have made... I referenced it last week, but I should have done a bigger intro for this episode because... Well, do you know why, Dave?
Because it's the last one of season three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are, for the very first time, going to complete a season of Friends with Friends episodes.
Did you sound surprised that I knew that that was the reason?
Yeah, but I was also just sort of tapping into the excitement of the moment.
Oh, you know? Fine, good. Yeah, because you know how I know, right?
Yeah. The spreadsheets.
No, you told me last week.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
Well, also, you consult the spreadsheet on a multiple times a day. You're
absolutely definitely know where the spreadsheet is.
You'll be out with friends and people will be like, Dave, what are you doing? You'll be like, I'm just looking at the spreadsheet.
Just checking out the world today.
Yeah.
As I've previously mentioned, the way I know which episode we're doing this week is that I wait for you to post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I watch it.
Well, hopefully you've watched it.
Yeah, I have.
Good.
Can confirm, Pete. Absolutely watched it. Couldn't have watched it more.
What episodes?
Well, here is the request. Ahoy, ahoy, Dave and Pete. I love the podcast. Oh, Rebecca.
That is like an AI-generated opening to a Friends of Friends request.
Oh, yeah. Ahoy, ahoy, and I love the podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. I love the podcast, and I often re-listen to episodes to sustain me when I have boring work admin to catch up on. I came for the Friends content, but stayed for the wild tangents, increasingly random Patreon pre-episode introductions. Oh, thank you for flagging that as an option that people can invest in.
Just go to patreon.com/... I never remember this. FWF pod?
No, Friends pod.
Patreon.com/friendspod. And for the price of just £3 per month?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
You can get an ad-free version of the podcast and some bonus treats.
You get a bonus episode every week. And yeah, we do a little bit of a bonus intro before the music on this regular episode as well, which, as I think our increasing number of patrons, as they are called on Patreon, but I hate that, so we'll come up with a better one. Woofers. As they will, I'm sure, testify.
Yeah.
Unmissable content, Pete.
Yeah.
What was it this week? We discussed Alison Moyet.
Alison Moyet and dogs. And how many dogs you can get in a van safely.
How many dogs you can get in a van. So there you go. If you're missing out on that, patreon.com/friendspod. I'd like to request the one with the ultimate fighting champion. Firstly, I love Jon Favreau as Pete. I think his storyline is quite prescient of mad billionaire behaviour. Musk, Zuckerberg, cage fight, anyone. Yeah. Do you know what? I thought of Elon Musk watching this. Probably the first time I've watched this episode in a couple of years before, you know, since Musk has gone full mad. And yes, I agree, Rebecca. It is very prescient. Also got the introduction of Bonnie and Rachel being outraged that she's no longer bald, and Ross giving Chandler the most impractical advice in response to his boss smacking his ass. Just don't turn your back to... Yeah, absolutely wild. We'll dig into that a bit more. And some of my favourite Phoebe lines. It's a line of ants.
Yeah, I noted that. I quoted that particular one. That's a great little bit. And then the plot twist of them crushing them.
Yeah, killing all the ants. It's a bit of a sadder ending, isn't it?
It is.
And also, oh no, that is really nothing. She's very sexually aggressive, which I also noted down as a very funny line. Not to mention the wild pre-credits cameo of Billy Crystal and Robin Williams. Oh, I'm not going to read the next sentence because it's pertaining to the quiz and it will remove any sort of jeopardy that we might want, Peter.
Yeah, of course. No, we've got to keep some tension.
Anyway, thank you so much, Bex from South London. Oh, Bex, sorry, I called you Rebecca because I read your email signature name first. So I apologise for that because I bloody hate it when people email me back saying, hi, David, even though I've signed it off Dave. So I apologise for that. I hope I've not offended you. Did you leave a moment's silence just in case I had offended her so we could all gather our thoughts?
No, yeah, a respectful silence for the offence caused, yeah. No, look, that was a hole entirely of your own digging, so I thought I'd just let you sit in it.
Yes, I notice you like to do that occasionally. You don't make me feel better about the nonsense that I'm sort of winding gently down towards stopping a sentence. You're just like, okay, let him have it. Would you like a synopsis then, Peter?
Yes, please. Have you got a production code for me?
Season 3, episode 24. I do. 465273.
Nah, don't like it ending in 3.
No, I don't like that one at all. Don't like it at all. Monica tries to support Pete's UFC dreams, but after his brutal losses, says she cannot continue. She cannot stay, sorry, if he continues and breaks up with him after he refuses to quit. Chandler has a problem when his new boss keeps slapping his butt in a friendly but inappropriate manner. And Phoebe sets Ross up on a date with Bonnie, a pretty girl who used to shave her head. Hopefully not happy that Bonnie is now a very hot blonde, nor that Ross likes her a lot.
She's not blonde, is she?
I think so.
She's got similar hair to Rachel in my head.
Sort of a dirty overlong.
Mousy Brown.
Where do you want to start? Oh, I suppose we should start with the pre-credits cameos, shouldn't we?
It's a little bit bizarre, isn't it? Because it's just, it's Robin Williams being incredibly Robin Williams-y.
Yeah.
He leaves, and that's it. There's some great lines in it. Like, I think she's sleeping with her gynecologist. He's got easy access.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's a very crowbarred in cameo.
Yeah, so the story goes, and as with all these stories, you never quite know where the truth lies, but the story goes that they were shooting something in the same building, and the producers just grabbed them and went, do you want to do a cameo in Friends? And they were like, yeah, all right. So the whole thing is improvised.
Oh, that makes sense.
Including Matt LeBlanc's little interruption of like, you know, so you're the gynecologist? Apparently the whole thing is improvised, basically. So, and when you sort of have that knowledge, it absolutely makes sense because it's not written like any Friends episode's ever been written before, is it?
But I do like Monica's attempting to tell that story, isn't she, about what happened with Pete, and this whirlwind of the two of them interrupts her. And then the Monica, what were you going to say? I have no idea. Great because it's just, I don't know, it's such a little whirlwind of a scene that it makes sense that she's completely lost her train of thought.
Yeah, and apparently I read somewhere that she also improvised that bit. So like the whole thing from start to finish is basically improvised, which is great. Like,
nice.
It's so unusual. So it sticks out like a sore thumb, doesn't it, that scene?
Yeah, it really does. Like, because he's just so, well, the pair of them, but particularly Robin Williams, because he's very much the loudest in this scene.
Yes, he is.
When you see Robin Williams, you're always thinking, that is Robin Williams. You're not seeing anything else as a character, are you, in that particular context?
I love Robin Williams, though.
Proper icon. And also, I think I'd forgotten that he ever had a little cameo in it.
Yeah, that's a good. It's a biggie, isn't it? It's a biggie. And not to besmirch Billy Crystal as well.
No, of course.
Big old star in his own right, you know? They were filming the film Father's Day, which aired the day after this Friends episode. So part of me wonders how spontaneous that cameo really was, Peter.
Yeah.
Very coincidental, Nespa. And where do you want to start with the main plot lines? I'm going to suggest Ross and Bonnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to. That's my suggestion.
Do you know the bit where... Rachel and Phoebe are looking through the window at Ross and Bonnie bonding, and Rachel panics and thinks, oh, God, he's falling in love with her. They do look quite sort of loved up, don't they?
Yeah, and that kind of continues in the sense that, like, I think Ross would have stayed with Bonnie for quite a while if Rachel hadn't, you know, if what happens at the beach in the next episode hadn't happened, and sort of Rachel decides, some would say quite selfishly, and as soon as he starts to move on, decides to sort of grab him back and interrupt again, you know. But I think otherwise it did feel like they got on well, and that was a potentially a good relationship in the making, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So the premise of this, as the synopsis said, actually I'm just going to reread that because it is the funny the way they phrased it. Phoebe sets Ross up with Bonnie, a pretty girl who used to shave her head. So there's a lot of like, oh, bald women equals ugly as vibe, isn't there here?
Well, yeah, and like, it's, look, I think the idea of, like, Rachel still met Bonnie and knows that she's still like, an incredibly beautiful woman, regardless of whether she has hair or not. So she should have been aware of the idea of, I don't know, potentially Ross being attracted to her.
Yeah, and do you know what? I thought that, and then I thought, you know, come on, give Ross some credit. You know, don't just be like, oh, yeah, you can set him up with anyone that's bald. That's fine. He's that shallow. But then it does actually transpire when she persuades her to shave her head again. He is that shallow. So I guess she knows Ross well enough to know whether that is the case or not. It's actually, I also, what I like about it on the other side of it, though, is that Phoebe doesn't even think to mention the fact that she's not bald anymore. The idea that whether she's bald or not has no bearing on her attractiveness is very, like, heartwarming and wholesome and very Phoebe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a footnote that she shaves her head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's just sort of, she doesn't see that as a thing. And that's the nice counterpoint to sort of Rachel's very black and white, like, well, yes, of course you can set up my ex with a bald woman, because there's no way anyone's ever going to find her attractive, is there? As Beck said, the line, she's very sexually aggressive, really made me laugh out loud. And I like quite a lot of Phoebe's little throwaway lines in this where, you know, Phoebe's like, oh, maybe he won't like her personality. Why? She got a bad personality? No, Bonnie's the best. All those little bits are really... Phoebe's quite excited about Bonnie and Ross, isn't she?
Bonnie as a character never really does much wrong, does she? At all.
I've noted down here, Peter, poor Bonnie is another bloody Janice. She's just a nice person.
I think she is.
Who, frankly, gets tossed around by these absolute knobheads who are too selfish to not, like, get in the way of someone else, you know?
Yeah, she becomes collateral damage in the Ross and Rachel-ing, doesn't she?
Yeah, and like you say, through no fault of her own, she's just nice and seems to care about Ross and makes the effort to go to the beach with him and his friends and is nothing but, you know, supportive of him in that sort of few weeks or however long they're dating. And suddenly it's like, oh, Rachel wants me back again. Oh, see you later, Bonnie. Bon voyage.
Nice.
Thanks. So where shall we go next, Peter? Shall we go to Peter or shall we go to Doug?
Let's go Doug.
Let's go Doug. I mean, where do we begin with Doug, Pete?
I mean, it feels very, unfortunately, 2024 to have these sort of issues with an inappropriate boss and some harassment. Tell you who I want more of, Dave. You know that scene where Chandler's talking to two of his colleagues?
Yeah.
About, there's the one that goes, Chandler says, yeah, but he gave you a ass smack as well. And he goes, not really. He ricocheted off you and got me. I think this is the only time we see this guy, but his delivery is really good.
Which colleague was he? I can't remember.
The one stood on the right.
The
dark
glasses.
Hair. Yeah. No, I don't think he has glasses.
Ah, right. Because one of the two of them, I noted, and this is a very 90s reference.
Oh, you're thinking of the one who comes back in the room to get a second smack.
Yes, yes. And do you know where he's from?
No.
The formative teenage Nickelodeon sitcom, Clarissa Explains It All, with Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh, okay.
That's her dad in that.
Oh, I didn't recognise him.
Well, I mean, I think it's okay that you didn't recognise Clarissa's dad from Clarissa
Explains
It All.
Yeah, the only one I would recognise... Actually, there are two people I would recognise. No, actually, the aunties.
No, that's Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, that's
Witch.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yeah. That was the same actress, wasn't it?
You've mixed up your Joan Harts there. Yeah, yeah, Melissa Joan Hart.
Wait, which one had the cat?
Which sitcom had the talking cat? The one about the witches with the magic or the other one?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, so to sum up, this guy has nothing to do with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Actually, he was actually in one episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But
so he does have something to do with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
And Melissa Joan Hart link, but yeah. Anyway, that's enough of my throwback to my childhood. But I do remember watching this for the first time when Clarissa was a big thing. I'm thinking, that is Clarissa's dad. That is a big cameo appearance. And now watching it back, I realise that is a jobbing actor that was on one kid's TV show.
She's paying the bills.
And thrilled to be in Friends for a bit part, not the celebrity cameo that I used to think he was. So yeah, like you said, so you say it's like very 2024. Even in 2024, and I might be wrong, but you don't hear much along the lines of this level of inappropriate workplace contact. You know what I mean? Like literally
sort of
slapping an ass in the office.
Yeah, he's kind of using it as a motivational tool. Like you earn a smack on the ass. It's a sign of a job well done.
He doesn't have any self-awareness as to why this might even be vaguely inappropriate, does he?
No, and there's the one bit where he's like, Chandler raises it with him that he's uncomfortable with it, and he says, "Look, it takes guts to have these conversations," or something along those lines.
Oh, and yeah, that was very brave, basically, is what he's saying, isn't it? Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, there's a glimmer of respectful management in there, but just goes back to the arse smacking.
He does, but the thing with that is, I think it's brave to like tell your boss that maybe you don't like the way they do something at work, or, you know, I don't think it should be considered brave to say to your boss, please don't smack my butt every couple of minutes whilst at work. That's not brave. That should just be a given.
Yeah, standard.
As Bex pointed out in her request, all the advice that Chandler gets is goddamn awful, isn't it? Ross is to don't turn your back on your boss. So sort of constantly just shimmying around. And Joey's is to rub something that smells bad on your butt.
And there's a weird joke in that bit where he very thoughtfully says, what could you rub on your butt that smells awful?
Yeah.
Is that an excrement joke?
I think it is, and it doesn't really make sense because in this scenario, you'd have to rub it on the outside of your trousers. You know? So you'd have to go for a shit and then re-rub onto the outside, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a long-winded way of getting your boss's hand to smell funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a weird sentence I just said.
It's a weird joke, that, isn't it?
It is. I do enjoy the way Matt LeBlanc delivers it, though. It's very funny, him just sort of, because he goes through that little sequence, doesn't he? He's like,
he gets a bit lost in his idea, doesn't he?
Yes, and just talking it through out loud, and I love those little Joey bits. We've discussed it before, but that's the level of Joey stupidity I really like, when it's quite plausible that he's just sort of mulling his thoughts over as he goes. So yeah, like you say, meanwhile, Chandler's colleagues are jealous. I mean, Chandler's really out on his own here, isn't he? Like, not only is he completely freaked out by the way his boss is behaving, but he's getting no support from his colleagues. And not only is he getting no support, they're actively annoyed that he's getting the butt slaps. As a sort of
they want them,
positive discrimination vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's a butt slappy. He gets all the preferential treatment. And so, yeah, I do actually feel sorry for Chandler in this. He's like the normal person in the mad world here, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's almost, he feels quite isolated by the fact that he's the only one that seems to find it really weird.
Yes, exactly.
But in the end, he enjoys the butt slapping.
Well, so the solution that Doug comes up with, having shown a glimmer of self-awareness, is to slap everyone else on the arse instead of Chandler.
Yeah.
And then Chandler misses it so much, he gets another fucking butt slap. Crikey. What a workplace, Peter. What a workplace.
Yeah, it doesn't look great, does it?
Talking of the workplace, I'm not even really joking that much when I say that, you know, Doug's presentation where he's like, all the lines go up, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm not really exaggerating when I say I think that's pretty much what happens in offices in my head. Like, I've never really had an office job. So when I watched that, I was like, that is a funny line. But yeah, that makes sense to me. That's kind of how I've always imagined
everything's
those sort
great
of jobs
crack
to be.
On keep yeah. going
sort of project management world or whatever it is, you know, just like, yep, that's going well, carry on, all the best. So yeah, I don't know what happens in buildings like that, frankly, but I'm convinced it is just that. So if you have a sort of Chandler Bing-esque job, please tell me whether that would be completely out of place in your work or whether actually you could get away with it. And to be fair, he's not wrong, is he? Lines going up on the graph, as long as that graph is a positive graph. Good business, everyone.
Oh, he's doing great, yeah.
Good business to you all. Talking of good business, should we interact with a commercial market and let some people try and sell some people's stuff on here?
Well, the graphs are going down, Dave, so yes, I think we should.
All my graphs are going down. As age goes up, all my other graphs go down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To Pete Becker then, eh?
I thought at some point in this episode someone calls him Pecker, but that would be Peter Pecker. So.
Peter Becker, Peter Becker, Pickle Becker.
Yeah, Becker makes more sense.
It really does. Is this the last time we see Pete, or does he come back?
Well, I was thinking, Friends has this, its way of writing out love interests that aren't going to go anywhere. Is it quite dramatically tanks them really quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, like, yes, yes, yes.
Gary shoots a bird, yeah. That kind of thing. And then Monica is so put off by Pete's determination to do this, despite it, you know, causing him physical pain, that suddenly he's like written out and gone. Like, it's, I don't know. It's like, I think it's quite a big change in Pete's character to go from what seems like quite a normal, grounded, albeit millionaire, to suddenly be like a big kid.
Well, yeah, it is. I agree, because actually, like we were talking about earlier, it is very Elon Musk-y to have that sort of billionaire lack
of
self-awareness.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just that's not quite the Pete. Kind of person that we've seen.
Agreed. I feel like he actually, up until now, has been fairly self-aware and fairly normal, in inverted commas, for someone with that much money, you know?
Yeah.
And it does feel like he completely, immediately flips. And yeah, like you say, it's that thing where they go, we've got one scene to get rid of this guy completely. Well, what mad fucking way are we going to do it?
He ends up being a bit like a YouTube boxer, doesn't he? He's like a Logan Paul type. Like, he has the platform to give something a go and the money to give it a go and do it on a big scale.
Yeah.
But doesn't go too well for him.
I know. Talking of that, I mean, yeah, you're right. Logan Paul's a good example, actually. But at least he's good at what he does, I think. That's the difference, right?
He is
known to be a good wrestler. Like, genuinely, and like works hard. The thing we see with Pete is he's getting absolutely pulverized. And like,
true.
I just feel like there might be some sort of checks and balances they have to do before they let just anyone.
It's quite
into UFC.
I mean, I don't know much about UFC. My knowledge of it is like Conor McGregor, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
But like, it seems to be quite a confused interpretation of the sport, because when he does his fight, one guy's a street fighter who's just in shorts, and then Pete's in traditional martial arts clothing. And then why is he getting his training from an assassin? And it's just all a little bit all over the place.
Well, considering how much money Pete's got, and he's got money to hire a whole team, why has he hired this one guy to both train him and massage him? Like, he can afford specialists. Get a proper masseuse, mate.
Yeah. Do you know the weird massage as well, where he puts the towel over his back and then massages him through the towel?
Really strange, isn't it? There's a lot of oddness going on in that scene, I think. Those are all real. Well, I mean, I don't. Is UFC even still a thing anymore? Is it just, do we just call it MMA now? I mean, or is that still like a competition within MMA?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I don't know either. So let's not talk about it any further, because clearly we have no knowledge to back this conversation.
No, UFC is still a thing.
Yeah. Well, those are all real people in it by accounts. That's like the real ring announcer, and that other guy is Tank Abbott is a real MMA fighter.
There's a big UFC event happening as we speak, Dave.
Where?
In the US, the UFC 300.
Oh.
So there you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have no further comments.
No cool.
Interest in that at all.
Oh, the commentator's Joe Rogan.
Huh?
Oh, he's UFC related.
Oh, sorry, not in the Friends episode. I thought
no,
you were in the Friends
episode. No.
Crikey. Yeah, that tracks, I guess, doesn't it? Yeah. That absolutely tracks. One little interesting tidbit I did find out about this is that they filmed that UFC, the Ultimate Fighting event, in the episode of Friends in Minnesota.
Right.
Because at the time, MMA was banned in New York.
Right.
So they sort of reference it, don't they?
I think we've probably sounded, if anybody listening to this, I don't imagine there's too much crossover between Friends of Friends listeners and UFC fans. But if there is, I imagine they have been tearing their hair out at how we've just talked about the sport.
Like Bonnie.
No, she carefully shaved hers.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's why I sort of said, let's not discuss this too much, because it's just too, you know, I'm very aware of this now. And hopefully by just flagging it up, then we negate the point. But we are basically two conspiracy theorists on TikTok now doing a podcast. You know, you see all those clips of just like two idiots going, what about the moon? Who took the photo of Neil Armstrong on the moon? Like, there must have just been another guy on the moon. And this other guy's like, oh my God, I'd never thought of that. It's like, just fucking Google it, lads. Like, yeah. You have your answer in about 12 seconds. Don't do a podcast and publish it on the internet. Yet here we are, Pete, going, oh, well, I wonder what the Ultimate Fighting Championship is like these days.
Look, I am confident that most people listening to Friends of Friends share our limited knowledge of UFC.
Well, one thing I do like about UFC, based on this episode of Friends, Pete, giant Coke.
Yeah, it's like a bucket, isn't it?
Oh, I love that. It's the one thing I miss about America when I'm here. I love many things, actually. I like a lot of things.
If you go to the cinema, you can get... I think it's the width of the cup that stands out.
Me too, but that's what I mean.
Nothing special.
High fine.
The girth
width
of the cup is notable.
It is notable girth. You're quite right. And I think whatever size we have in the UK of the largest thing you can buy sort of publicly available, America is always double. It's always double. And I'm absolutely here for it. At the cinema, I will have a fucking bucket of Diet Coke and the popcorn as well. Honestly, I'm never happier than when I'm at the cinema with more popcorn than is technically healthy for one man.
Yeah, but at what point do you ever, like, at what point would you finish the popcorn?
What do you mean?
Like, when do you reach the bottom of the popcorn? End of the film?
No,
like, do you strategically...
Left.
No. Do you strategically stagger your popcorn eating?
Nah, don't bollocks, mate. That's done by the trailers, usually.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
I'd say I described the best comparison of me eating popcorn is The Simpsons eating dinner.
Yeah.
You know, just a sort of constant shoveling at high speed.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
That big cup, by the way, is the same cup that ugly naked guy is holding when he answers the door to Ross, you know, before Ross gets naked.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's the same cup. I imagine it isn't. They probably bought a new cup, but that must be a sort of specific...
Do you think the Friends budget stretched to more than one cup?
A second cup. I would hope so, eh? I got a question about Pete as well while we're on it. You know when he gets absolutely mullered in his second fight?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I really like that sequence of Joey going, fight starting, and then 15 seconds, fight's over.
Yeah.
That's genuinely really well-paced out sequence. I like that. Pete's then, like, neck braced up, full, what's it called? Not Plaster of Paris.
His comedy plaster.
Yeah.
Plaster? No, you're right. What are we talking
plaster,
about? His cast.
It?
Yeah, his cast.
Yeah, cast. Yes, like, cast. Full body cast.
The one where he's got his arms propped up out with the two little... props like under his arms.
Yeah.
And I like the bit where he marks out his circle of, does he call it like his circle of danger or something?
Circle of,
his little funny little shuffle is great.
My question about that, Pete, though, is picture the scene. Where is he when Monica finds him like that?
I mean, it looks a bit like a hospital.
He's in the gym.
Oh.
What's he doing in the fucking gym? Go home, yeah, Pete.
Go home, like, Pete.
You can't even get a weird massage off your assassin. Like, yeah. You're fully casted up. Why have you gone to the gym in that state?
I mean, he must be in a horrible state to require that much of a cast.
Yeah, you have to sort of respect that he still wants to do it after that. That would be enough to probably put most people off for life, eh?
Yeah.
Again, like you say, is he so quickly written out? And part of that is them putting this sort of horrible colour on Pete, by which I don't mean his red face. I mean his, like, the colour, the sort of metaphorical emotional colour when he's like, let me tell you a story. And he gets very like, I'm a man being.
Yeah,
you know.
And again, that just seems very different to. Look, I get it. You have to find a way of getting rid of characters. That's the way that it works. I get it. It's just, maybe they tried a bit of a slow build with he's bought a ring or not that kind of ring. He's I guess they do attempt at kind of laying, like planting the seed of it. It's just in the end, it feels a bit like Gary shooting a bird. Perfectly reasonable person becomes
suddenly goes nuts.
Incapable of being your boyfriend. It's a bit odd.
Or just incapable of sort of living in a plausible real world, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Gary thing is the same. You're right. Even if Gary loves shooting birds, chances are, based on even his rudimentary knowledge of Phoebe, he'd know she wouldn't like that, so wouldn't do it in front of her, you know?
No, exactly.
Right. Okay, then, Peter, shall we play a small sting at and then come back for everyone's favourite bit of Jeopardy?
Yes. Let's
Here
do
we
that.
Go. Hey, Pete. Just before the Jeopardy, do you know who does find Bonnie attractive, or be she bald?
No.
And I realise that what I've done is say that in such a weird way that you're probably sort of thinking, I don't really know what you're trying to get across here, because that sentence was at best baffling. But let me answer it for you, Pete. Ben Stiller.
Oh, really?
That's his wife.
What, still to this day?
To this day. Oh, let me check if they separated. They haven't divorced, but I'd like to check if they've... No, it seems like they might still be together. Oh, Ben Stiller and Bonnie. Tommy and Bonnie. Tommy's his character and friends, isn't it? Tommy and Bonnie.
There you go.
There you go, Pete. Let's get to the everyone's favourite bit of the episode. Hey, Pete, is there a quiz?
There is a quiz.
Oh my God.
Provided from Bex.
Hit me.
Right. Number one. Yes. What are the names of the characters played by Billy Crystal and Robin Williams?
Oh, that is hard work. Do they even say them?
I don't know. But Bex has the answer, so.
Well, no, I can tell you that it exists because when I was sort of doing my research, I noted that they had names and I'm trying to buy time here. I think they started with the same letter.
Correct.
Is one called, like, is it Tommy or Thomas or something?
It's Thomas.
Tom.
Tim and Thomas.
Thomas. Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't have got Tim. Which is which?
I don't know, but given the spelling of Thomas, I'd assume that that's Robin Williams' character, given he doesn't seem to have English as his first language.
Gotcha.
Question two. How much did Ross save when he bought the ultimate fighting combo?
30 cents.
Is correct.
Yes.
How much does Pete's first UFC opponent, the Tank Abbott, weigh?
That's a great
It's a very
question.
Round number, I remember.
200 pounds.
No, 300 pounds.
300 pounds. This is one of those things where Americans will be like, of course it's not 200 pounds, because that's like...
Yeah.
4 grams, but I do not understand pounds in any sense.
Question four. How does Pete's second UFC opponent train? I know this.
Go on.
By going to Iran and ripping the arms of thieves.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm right. And question five. What are the names of Chandler's three colleagues in the meeting with Doug at the end of the episode? That is hard.
Stevens is one of them.
Is correct.
I think that's Clarissa's dad.
Okay.
I don't know any of those.
Phil and Goldberg.
Phil and what? Goldberg?
Mm. That'd be a surname, wouldn't it?
Oh, right, yeah. You make a very strong point, Pete, because you say Goldberg, I think of the wrestler.
And that is the end of the quiz.
Would you like to tell me what next week's episode is?
Yes, it is Season 7, Episode 5, the one with the engagement picture. It's been requested by both Kate and Kirsty. One of them offered to do a quiz, but I didn't note down which, but they haven't sent it.
Either of you listening and have requested this episode and want to follow through on that promise, you know where to find us. On the internet.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Please provide quiz, unless you can't be asked, in which case we'll fucking sort it.
Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.